You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday. Hey, we've made it halfway through another work week. Just a couple more days. You got to hang in there. It's 7:06 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Hi, Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. Yeah, I start thinking about the weekend on Monday
yes.
at 5:59. But that's just me. I have a poor work ethic, I guess. It is the top of the hour. And as always, you've had a little news before we came back. And now we have more you need to know.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
It's a sad case when trying to find news about the war is becoming harder and harder because major news organizations are like, we're never getting out of here. We just, right. There's nothing new. But this is new. The president said late yesterday that he was pausing the military's new operation to clear a transit path through the Strait of Hormuz for commercial vessels, halting a mission that had only just begun, even as more than 1,500 commercial ships are still waiting to get through Iran's closure of the crucial waterway. Trump said the pause, quote, comes at the request of Pakistan and other countries and means that U.S. military operations, including using warships to clear a path through the strait, will be halted, quote, for a short period of time to see whether or not the peace agreement can be finalized and signed. I'll let you make the joke about how long it'll probably be, Jamie.
2 weeks.
Thank you. Trump wrote in a social media post all of that yesterday. That means that while the U.S. Navy will continue to stop ships that have entered Iranian ports, the air and sea-based operations to clear the strait for commercial vessels is now on hold. Both sides have exchanged fire in the past day over the strait. So, ceasefire? I don't think they know what that means. Trump's announcement followed two news conferences yesterday, one at the Pentagon and one at the White House, where the administration touted the effectiveness of the new military operation and strived to convince reporters that the new mission, dubbed Project Freedom, was working. I love that they had to strive to convince reporters. No, seriously, guys, it's working. We're doing great. Despite Iran firing missiles and drones at U.S. ships on the initial day of transit clearing and the U.S. destroying at least six Iranian fast boats in return. Earlier Tuesday, we talked about it a little as it was happening, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said that the U.S. mission to protect commercial ships in the Strait of Hormuz would be temporary. Little did he know how temporary it was going to be. And that other nations would soon have to take responsibility. He also emphasized that the fragile ceasefire with Iran remained in place despite ship attacks. I would love to send a thesaurus and a dictionary, mostly a dictionary, to the administration. If you are still firing and they are still firing, that's not a ceasefire.
No.
That is a continue fire.
Which means that the war is not actually ended, like the president would like to tell us. I mean, this entire event chain happened before Pete Hegseth could basically say the words, get off the stage, turn off the microphone, fold his pocket square, and move on with his day. I mean, it was all so quick in what happened. It's just more of the same, right? It really, truly is, because there is no, we've said it, and I don't want to keep beating the same drum, but
we have to,
right? There's no plan. There's absolutely no plan here
no plan.
As to what is going to happen. There was no plan going in during the initial attack 2 months ago, and maybe even into the summer, if you want to look a little further than that. And there's obviously no plan to get out of this. There is no diplomacy happening. There is no negotiation happening. Diplomacy is not a mean tweet. It is not a tweet of what you think is strength. That is not what this is. And if you're not sending anybody there to actually sit down face to face with officials, there's no plan.
There's no plan. The plan, now it's desperation mode.
Right.
Because I'm going to try this. It didn't work. I'm going to try this. And even the most right-wing news media are starting to question. I don't know if you saw a Newsmax reporter yesterday asking Pete Hegseth why the president had capitulated. And man, oh man, Whiskey Pete got mad at that one. No, the president did not capitulate on anything. We are locked and loaded. He loves to use the catchphrase. Locked and loaded. He left out the three-point stance, though. I liked that one from the earlier press conference yesterday. But locked and loaded, and it's America first, and the president is great, and blah, blah, blah. And he tried to pull a Trump on the reporter. He goes, Jim, you started out great because, of course, the reporter gave a little smoochy to the hiney as he started his question and then asked about the capitulation. Oh, and you ended up right where we knew you would end up. Yeah, everybody's going to end up there, Pete, because we see it and we need to know. And you guys are flailing away trying to figure out what to do because you went in half-cocked, not locked and loaded, and you've just been cosplaying and letting a guy who has no military expertise whatsoever run roughshod over military experts in order to facilitate some sort of fever dream about a nuclear weapon that did not exist. And while we're all looking at, well, is oil the real deal? Of course, the real cause of this whole thing is oil. You try to disguise it with this nuclear weapon ridiculousness, and then you create the problem and blame somebody else and now can't fix it. The problem being the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which was wide open.
And in the meantime, while all that's happening, everybody here in the United States, including in Wisconsin and across the globe, are feeling the ramifications of all of those decisions because prices just keep skyrocketing. Oil prices are going up, and there is absolutely no end in sight. And again, a reminder that even if this conflict were to end today, right, it's not, but if it were, hypothetically, those prices would not automatically just come down quickly. And we're going to talk about it a little later this morning, but, you know, you even look at things like travel plans for the summer. If you need to fly, good luck. Book now, because it's pretty ridiculous. And we'll get into a little bit more of that this morning as far as how that's going to impact people who might have travel plans. But it's an across the board thing, all the way from what you're putting into your car, your gas you're putting into your car, to your oil, to your groceries, to your energy bills, and to all of the goods that you want to buy. And I just look at the prices aren't coming down. Every time I go to the store, everything is more expensive than it was the last time I went to the store. That's the ramification.
They claim it is, and now they're floating we're going to stop oil exports. They're floating that idea, which according to all industry experts is a horrible idea, because while we do export a lot of oil, we also import a lot of oil. I wanted to say 16 million barrels or 60 million barrels a day, whatever it is. It's everything is interconnected, everything.
Right.
But he doesn't see those connections. He is impulsive and just makes a decision based on his gut, which we have seen over and over again. His gut, I think he needs to take some probiotics, because his gut is not acting correctly.
What
else do we have to know, Jamie?
Well,
there's got to be something.
There is some more. And now the Democrats want some conversations and some words of wisdom, apparently, from Secretary of State Marco Rubio, because they have asked him to publicly announce that Israel possesses nuclear weapons, arguing that Washington must end decades of ambiguity over the issue in the middle of this conflict with Iran. In a letter that they sent on Monday, 30 Democrats wrote that it was unsustainable for Donald Trump to collaborate with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on a military campaign against Iran with the stated goal of preventing the country from obtaining a nuclear weapon without publicly acknowledging the U.S. allies' possession of a bomb. In this particular letter, it says, quote, "We are, in the fullest sense, fighting this war side by side with a country whose potential nuclear weapons program the United States government officially refuses to acknowledge." It goes on to say, "Congress has a constitutional responsibility to be fully informed about the nuclear balance in the Middle East, the risk of escalation by any party to this conflict, and the administration's planning and contingencies for such scenarios. We do not believe we have received that information." Now, in case you're wondering, Israel has never acknowledged its nuclear weapons programs, and no U.S. administration has publicly stated that it exists, despite considerable evidence that it actually does. The program traces its origins all the way back to the 1950s. It did have assistance from U.S. allies, including France and apartheid South Africa. U.S. presidents, though, have for decades avoided discussing the subject. Barack Obama responded to a reporter's question about it early in his presidency by saying he did not wish to speculate. Interesting.
Well, you're talking about Israel, the country that didn't
right.
cajole Donald Trump into starting a war of choice.
That's the one, yes.
All right. I'm just checking. Hey, look, something close to home.
Yes.
We talked about this yesterday in the under the guidelines of how test scores were not being changed by cell phone bans in schools. Well, yesterday, the Madison School District unveiled its proposal for a new cell phone policy at the school board meeting, and saying students could not use their phone, could only use their phone during passing time and at lunch periods. They recommended an all-day ban for grades K through 8. So a little leniency, like I said, when they're passing. But other than that, no. Some school board members expressed trepidation. I love when you express trepidation. About a full-day ban for kindergarten kids don't need a phone.
No, you taught
hard stop,
second grade,
period,
right?
End of story.
I taught
everything from preschool to fifth.
Did they need phones in kindergarten and second grade?
They barely can wipe their nose in kindergarten, and I don't say that to be mean.
You're right,
it
though.
Yes, they can't tie their shoes.
No.
They don't need a phone. Trust me, if your child is in danger at school, we will protect them. We will wrangle them. They will not stay quiet during I don't know what we call them now. I still call them, when I started, it was active shooter drills.
Sure.
But now, you know, they'll be fine. So there was the district used to let principals just determine what
right.
they could do in their own schools. Now, state law requires school boards to implement those district-wide policies, which is why you got the administration involved. The proposed policy would meet the law's requirements mandating that Wisconsin school districts limit students' cell phone usage during instructional time. Full ban for younger students would go further than the law's mandate. Again, I understand parents' worries. I don't think they're, and I know you're going to say, well, there was a shooting at a school in Madison. I understand that. And so I don't take away from parents' worry. You know,
right.
if my daughter was still in school at this point, I would want her to have some sort of access to me. There has to be a way to figure it out, because as we talked about yesterday, studies have shown that while teachers love it because kids aren't distracted, it's not really having any effect on grades.
Right.
It's not having test scores. Everybody's still fine. So, okay.
I think it's also important to point out that this is going to be a statewide law, but almost 90% of districts in Wisconsin already have some kind of phone restriction
right.
at the schools.
And just because it's law, how are they?
Right.
It's going to be up to each school to enforce
yeah.
it. Each classroom teacher is going to have to enforce it.
Right.
They're going to have to be creative about how they enact this, whether it's you have to leave them in the locker or you have to drop them
and
off.
And teachers are actually asking for that. They want more clarification on all of
yeah.
this and stricter policies. So, you know, I don't know. They happen to be the ones with the kids all day. Give them what they want.
what they want is to be paid fairly.
Right.
But other than that, yes, let's take a break. Let's enjoy some
breather.
Fun. Frank is coming out of his sick bed to get us a little swipe or stay action. Next, it's Daybreak on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. It is 7:22 right now, and it is time for Swipe or Stay. We
Yay.
Love this part of the morning because we get to take a breather from the politics. We get to dive a little bit more into pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. How are you feeling today? You sound and look better.
I sound and look better, but I've developed a small cough, I've realized.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So
okay.
It's all right. I've got
all right.
some.
We'll make it through. We'll get through.
Got a hot cup of coffee. We're going to get through this segment, everybody.
Here's a poor man's cough remedy. pop a Jolly Rancher between your cheek and gum like a, and it'll just dissolve and it'll keep you.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that, Brian.
Yes, sir.
What grown man keeps Jolly Ranchers on handy?
A grown man who has been on the radio for a long time and has had a cough and always has a Ziploc of Jolly Ranchers in his backpack.
There's always tricks for that, right?
Pro tip.
There's also tricks for that. I will also tell you that the throat sprays that were that you can actually like swallow, because there are some, in a little hot chocolate or something, works like a charm if you're starting to lose your voice.
Or throat coat tea is another one.
Yep.
Throat coat tea is
that
the
one.
Yeah. But the Jolly Rancher works, man.
It doesn't
give you that medicine-y taste of a cough drop.
No.
All right.
You could
good
do the,
to know.
You could do butterscotch.
I'd stay
discs
on that
too.
One. Don't swipe that one, Frank. Stay.
We're swiping on to Swipers Say. Here's how it's going to work if this is your first time listening to it. I'm going to read some vague pop culture headlines, and then Jamie and Brian will have to decide whether to swipe on to the next one or stay and hear more. Parker gets to be the tiebreaker if it comes down to it. Story number one. I'm very happy to talk about this one. I'm just laying the groundwork.
Is it Mike Vrabel?
No.
Are you trying, to persuade us?
Yes.
Okay.
The Toronto Maple Leafs leave the hockey world floored.
All right. Because you've been sick, I want to throw you a bone, and I will say stay.
Well, we don't get a lot of hockey stories now that the Olympics are over, so I'll stay too, Frank.
This is a juicy, controversial one, I promise.
Oh, all right.
The Maple Leafs may have the new title as the king of controversy in the sports world. I am crowning them. They just hired John Chayka as their new GM. Chayka was hired by the Coyotes in 2016 and was the youngest GM in the league at 26.
Wow.
A month after his resignation, the NHL sanctioned the Coyotes for illegal pre-draft testing for more than 20 Canadian Hockey League players, which violates the league's combine testing policy. And in 2021, Chayka was suspended for 1 year by the commissioner for conduct detrimental to the league and game.
Holy
this
cow.
Is the Toronto Maple Leafs. This is like,
this is
six. Toronto's NHL team. It's a huge deal. Here's where it gets really fun. Here was the introductory press conference.
Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun, for Keith. You talk about the due diligence that you did on John prior to hiring him and now hiring him. In the past, Steve Simmons, Toronto Sun, for Keith. You talk about the due diligence that you did on John prior to hiring him and now hiring him. In the past, say, 3 to 4 days, I have been in contact with about 20 people who work in the National Hockey League, many of whom are prominent names that we would all know. And of the 20 people I spoke to, one was supportive of John's hiring, and the other 19 thought it was a sham, to be perfectly honest. Words were used like con artist, liar, salesman. How did you come to a different conclusion that I was able to come to in a very short time?
I must have talked to different people.
Holy smokes.
Because the hockey world today is astounded by this announcement.
Okay.
And your response to that?
Is we've conducted due diligence, and it was deep due diligence. It was a thorough process, and I'm quite happy with where we've landed.
Wow.
That's it? Is my favorite response from a reporter of all time. I want to give this guy his due, because that is how you should ask that question.
Wow. That's insane.
Because it was a long wind-up to that question.
Yeah.
There was a lot of research that went into this one.
Yes, there was.
Yeah. Holy buckets.
He was ready.
All
well,
right.
We must talk to different people. Okay. The hockey world is not that big. There's only so many teams with so many owners and GMs and everybody else. They're not.
I kind of wish White House reporters went in with that much gusto and with those types of questions. But you know.
Well, it's funny. In Canada, they treat hockey as important as, you know, more importantly than we treat talking to our president or the administration.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yes. Oh, and by the way, just a day after this happened, the Maple Leafs just got the number one pick in the draft lottery. So tell me that's not fishy.
Weird
how that happens. All right, we're going to move on to a non-sports story. School director in Arkansas arrested for organizing a club.
Oh, what kind
of Arkansas? I can only imagine. The cousin kissing club? What kind of club we got? I'm staying.
I'll stay. I think we need to know what kind of club it is.
It's not a cousin kissing club. Mary Tracy Morrison, the owner and director of the Delta Institute for the Developing Brain, was arrested for organizing a fight club amongst the students.
Yeah. They're not supposed to talk about that, Frank.
I know. And they didn't. A video showed a gathering where a child was forced to sit on the floor in a circle of 18 other kids, including Morrison, overseeing it. And she told the other children to hit the child in the circle center with an unknown object and berated the victim while he was kicked by another student.
Whoa! Wow.
She then high-fived that student after the beating and told the students to never talk about it because we don't talk about Fight Club, Brian.
We don't. It's the first rule, Frank.
Morrison pled guilty to one count of permitting child abuse and four counts of contributing to the delinquency of a juvenile, according to local news outlets. A judge sentenced her to 30 days in jail, 120 days of house arrest with electronic monitoring, and 9 years of probation. Oh, and by the way, she can't work with children anymore.
Oh, really? You think?
Well, that's a shame.
Oh, my God.
Wow. For kids.
Holy buckets. What?
Wow. All right, one more quick one. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, what ages are we talking about? Do we know?
I don't know, but the story. I would assume all ages. We've got
I'm hoping it's
seconds.
Real little kids. That would be funny. Just tiny toddlers. A toddler fight club. Frank, you brought the heat today.
I did.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
When we come back, have increased airline fares because of the gas changed your travel plans for the summer? It's Daybreak on the Civic Media.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. We hope that you are having a great start to your morning. If you're in La Crosse listening on WLCX or in Hayward on WBZH or in Appleton and Oshkosh listening on WISS, we're glad that you decided to join us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Have increased airfares due to the cost of jet fuel made you reconsider your travel plans? We want to hear from you, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Yes, we've talked about this. We all know gas prices. I'm dreading I have to get gas today, and
me
I am
too.
Dreading it. I've taken out a second mortgage on the house. I actually sold a kidney because I'm down low. I have to fill up today, so...
Let me tell you.
So we know that. We know diesel.
I'm feeling every bit of this story that we're about to talk to with air travel, and we'll get into it in a little bit. But
yes,
because
so we all know. We all know that diesel fuel has gone up because the cost of our groceries being trucked to us is costing more. Well, it's also affecting jet fuels. Delta Airlines is changing what passengers can expect on shorter flights. They announced on May 19th. Wait, they announced that starting May 19th,
yes.
I go, wait, are they announcing things in the future? No. Starting May 19th, economy travelers aren't going to receive snacks or drinks for flights under 350 miles. The airline says the move is about creating more consistent experience, but this is different. They are cost cutting because it's costing them more.
Right.
But jet fuel prices have roughly doubled this year. It's tied in part to global tensions. You know all this. Fuel is one of the largest expenses airlines face, second only to labor, and companies are looking for ways to manage those costs. So if you've tried to buy a plane ticket, good luck. You don't get value flights anymore. You know, that was one of the reasons, other than bad management, that Spirit shut down because they couldn't afford to buy fuel anymore.
Well, as it turns out, that Spirit closure, if you're looking for plane tickets right now, is creating all sorts of havoc across the board. I'll be gone next week because we have to do some traveling for work. And it turns out that as we've been trying to get these meetings planned and figure out the itinerary, we weren't actually able to book our tickets because nothing was finalized until yesterday by noon. So
you're going to get a good price.
Oh, let me tell you, if we want, and we have to travel to the East Coast. So we are talking thousands of dollars to make a flight across the from the Midwest to the
halfway
East
across.
Coast. Yes. And so at this point, when I went to bed last night, my husband was looking at the plane tickets, and I think we were flying on Sun Country because they were the only thing that was actually normal and affordable. Yes, Parker, Sun Country, it's an airline.
Where do you it have sounds to like you'll be in one of the, what are they called?
Turboprop?
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to be at a prop plane is
the,
what it
the
sounds
planes
like.
The planes looked like it. And in fact, but it's so funny because my husband's a taller guy too, right? I mean, you,
yeah,
Brian, you understand this.
I understand.
And in Sun Country, on a normal standard seat, you only have 28 inches of leg room. That is not nearly enough.
Wow.
So we had to upgrade, and this is not a knock on Sun Country. We
yes,
had
it
to,
is.
It, we had to. I mean, airlines suck. This is why flying sucks. We had to upgrade to their best bundle so that he could get 34 inches of leg room, and the poor guy could, like, you know, feel his legs when he stands up when we actually land. Now, as
what can I ask? How much more is what else comes in this best bundle?
Well, we
I
would have gotten
imagine.
A checked bag if we would have needed it. That would have been included. We wouldn't have had to pay the $45 for a checked bag, so that's good.
Wow.
But we don't need a checked bag because it's a very quick
trip. I'd take
trip.
One anyway.
I know. That's what I said to him. I said, I kind of feel like if you have to take a sports coat, like your sports coat just lives in a checked bag.
Bring us back some Boston cream pies or something
right.
in that. Take an emptied bag with you and bring it back full of treats.
Unfortunately, we have to do more traveling once we get back, so I have like no way to take care of anything.
All right.
As it is, we also have to drive to Minneapolis, and there's two reasons for that, because part of the trip will end in Minneapolis, but that's the only place where there's an actual direct flight to get to Boston. Is
that
where
was
we're
I was
going
to ask how many stops you had to make on Sun Country. Well, we're going to Anchorage. Then we're going to Albuquerque.
Sun Country
then
only.
Flying over.
Sun Country was the only one we could find that was actually going to be nonstop. That we weren't going to be paying over $1,000 for. It is absolutely incredible. Like we were sitting there last night, and I was like, "Well, how important is it that I'm there?" I think we managed to find.
Listen, I hear this company's hurting for cash. I don't know if we need to be throwing around these big time plane tickets.
I believe we're probably doing our own plane tickets for this particular trip. So it's just, but it tells you where we're at. Right? It tells you where we're at for travel. And every time we were looking at all of the different airline companies, they were giving us dates in July or August. Basically, why are you so stupid trying to book anything now is what they were telling us as we were opening their pages.
Last minute travel does not.
That's never cheap.
I mean,
that's never
it's
been
never cheap.
But this
and
is ridiculous.
You know this, and you have to. I mean, this thing came up. You got to go, but it's. Man, and now services are being cut because of the costs. Their every little thing is getting nickeled and dimed. I can't imagine any time in the near future that I want to fly anywhere. I don't want to go near an airport. I don't, because it infuriates me.
Yes.
Where it's like, now we have to pay you for a bag. Now we have to pay you for a bag of peanuts. If I don't want to stand up like I'm on the subway, I have to pay you extra for a seat that's actually not even comfortable,
right,
but at least manageable for somebody over 6 feet tall.
Right.
The whole thing is, we used to joke about people taking the bus, that it was such a low rent way to travel. Man, it's airfare and the bus are the same. And I'm talking a bus like in South America with the chickens
right.
on the top. I'm talking that kind of bus. A school bus, not even a tour bus.
And gas prices, bus travel is going to seem like a luxury now too, honestly.
Driving to the grocery store seeming like a luxury.
Does.
I'm doing everything. This is playing into one of my desires, though. I have a reason not to leave the house now.
Right.
Do you know how expensive it is to drive? I don't have to leave.
And it's funny because we've talked about this. I do a lot of grocery delivery to our house on certain items. And even that is getting so expensive because the drivers have to make up the cash, the gas price difference.
So how have you seen increase in that? Because you got to figure with Uber and everything else.
So I just put in a standard order of our normal staples last week.
It.
And about 3 months ago, that normal staple of goods would have cost me probably about $150. And that was with tip, that was with the delivery fee, all of that, right?
Right.
The other day I paid $207.
Wow. Now, so, see, I know you do it because of time constraints, yeah, which makes sense. But at some point, people have to look at this and go, all right, I know there's people with mobility issues. I know there's a lot of reasons people use grocery delivery. But when I hear that and I go, all right, I got a tip, which of course you should tip, tip the driver. I got to pay the delivery fee, which is probably going up because the company sees that, but I don't know how much the driver is actually getting.
Right.
So now am I going to be a good guy and maybe tip a little more because I know the driver has to pay more for gas. I'm like, there's got to be I'll bite the bullet and I'll drive to the grocery store and do that. You know, again, because I have the ability to drive to the grocery store.
And
there's a lot of people
who don't. I do. There are certain days when I'll look at my schedule and I'll look at the refrigerator and I'm like, those two things are not meshing well today. So I'll do grocery delivery or I'll do a shop and I'll go pick up if I have to. But it is, I think we're going to see this in multiple different phases as we go. And one of the things, if you do, I do want to say too, if you do want to travel by air or you need to for any reason, what I thought was also fascinating last night is trying to get to Sun Country site because they are basically the step up from Spirit, and Spirit was the budget airline. And now everybody's looking for budget airlines. Website just completely, and again, not their fault. It's just the ramifications of where things are at. Completely bogged down. Took almost 4 minutes for the page to even load.
Oh my gosh.
And you know, we live in this time where everything is fast and you want instant gratification. I'm like, what do we live in, a third world country? Why won't this load? It is crazy. So if you have to do any travel, I would definitely recommend at this stage making the plans now if you can. Even if you think that you want to travel in July or August for a family vacation, I would at least start looking at things now, even if you can't 100% commit. Watch. I mean, there's certain times of the year when you're supposed to book your travel so that it's cheaper. Are we going to see that again?
I don't know. And they used to say certain days of the week and times of day, and don't go on, you know, if you look at a flight and then you leave to check it against something else, close your browser because it remembers and it raises up. But there's all these. Why not just everything else in our lives costs what it costs for the most part?
Mm-hmm.
Cars and flights. That's where suddenly we gotta haggle. We gotta go searching. What's a flight from Madison to Boston cost? That's what it should cost.
Right.
You know, if I'm flying wherever I'm flying, it should cost the same. I shouldn't go, oh, no. And I get it, the demand at certain times of day. And I know all the arguments, but stop.
My favorite.
Airlines are.
My favorite part of last night when we were looking at flights, and I can't remember what airline it was. It was one of the bigger ones, your Delta, Southwest, United, American. And I looked at it because my husband is also not a very early riser. So we have to really, like, if they're going to ask him to be at the airport before 7 a.m., it's probably just a flat no. So it gets a little precarious, right?
Oh, see, that you got to, that's right. You got to stay up all night.
Exactly.
Just so go to
I
the
looked
airport.
At it and I'm like,
sometimes
all right.
You got to be uncomfortable.
All I looked at was the departing flight from Minneapolis, and it said we would leave at like 10:30 in the morning. I'm like, okay, that's not bad. He's like, oh, that's good. Then I looked at when we actually got to Boston. It was going
to be at
4 a.m. the following day because there was a 12 and a half hour layover in Denver. We were going
Denver, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way.
Yes.
No. We have allowed airlines to become robber barons. This is just, it's the most ridiculous thing. I miss the old Southwest. I even miss having to run and get in line like cattle.
To get my seat.
To try to, yeah, I don't care. It was cheap, and they were always on time. They always landed. The flight attendants were good for a laugh, even an ironic laugh.
Right.
You got the peanuts. It was a whole thing. I don't know if you remember an airline, Jamie, ATA.
Yes, I remember ATA long ago.
ATA. Because on ATA, you're on vacation.
Yep.
And man, we flew out anytime we had to fly to the West Coast when I was flying out there for work or whatever. It was great because you got a meal. Mm-hmm. You got cheap airfare. Mm-hmm. It was direct flight to LAX. It was like 3.5-4 hours. It was wonderful. And yeah, then they went under. And then Southwest decided they were becoming the target of the air and tried to get to out fancy themselves.
Right. Right.
Made themselves a little too highfalutin for
me. And this is why I don't actually mind flying on Sun Country. We've done it before. Their budget, it's flying. You're not going to be comfortable. And by the way, labor agreements and maintenance also causing the air travel fees to spike, along with the jet fuel.
Stay in your basement. Make an amusement park down there. Yes, when we come back. Who's your most hated sports franchise, Parker? We'll ask that question and answer it on Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. All right. Let's go. Your most hated sports franchise, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And Packer fans, oh, you are not going to be happy with this. Roto-Wire. They are a fantasy sports news advice and analysis company in Madison. Contends the Packers are the most hated NFL team. An honor they share with the New York Jets and the Las Vegas Raiders. Your first impressions, Jamie and Parker.
None of those are the right answer.
I don't understand.
Why?
Okay. I get the Packers. Because first of all, Packers fans, I'm sorry. I'm one too. We're whiny. We really truly are. We have a lot of accolades. We've had really great quarterbacks over the years. We still whine, and I get it. The Jets and the Raiders, I mean, I get it. I get that you're the Jets and the Raiders and you're fans of those teams, and that must be a really hard way of living. I mean, you're a Bears fan, Brian. Yeah. You probably are. I mean, even the Bears at this point are on an upward trajectory.
Yes, they are.
Right? And which I hate as a Packers fan. Parker, I'm sure you agree.
Mm-hmm.
But Jets and Raiders fans, I mean, come on.
Well, it's not the fans, it's the team.
It is.
So I will clarify. Green Bay, according to RotoWire, is the most hated team in 6 states. I bet you can figure out which one. Illinois, mm-hmm. home of the Bears. Michigan, home of the Lions. Minnesota, home of the Vikings. Iowa, home of Chuck Grassley. I don't know why he has such lot of problems with
Vikings
the Packers.
Vikings and Bears
and
fans.
And then Jamie, North and South Dakota.
Vikings fans.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Because okay. South Dakotans are Vikings fans.
Yeah, okay.
Now, you can take this as Packers fans as kind of a little bit of a badge of honor because RotoWire says it's because success is a main part. Now, not for the other two teams, not for the Jets and the Raiders, but the Packers are the third most successful team in this century after New England and Pittsburgh. So people, they hate us because they ain't us might play into this too. So
there
it's not all bad news.
All right.
But
I can get with
on
that.
On the flip side, Lambeau voted one of the most comfortable stadiums in the league.
No.
I knew that you wouldn't like that. Yeah.
No, it's
yes,
not.
The most comfortable stadium in North America. It's tied with Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, which I got to say, now I've said I haven't been to Lambeau, and that's something I'm going to remedy this year. But I have been to Lucas Oil. And it's sweet.
No, Lucas Oil is like a luxury destination. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Lambeau Field.
I knew Frank would get drawn into this.
Lambeau Field is an amazing place to visit. I don't care what team you root for. There is an aura of football.
It's history, yeah.
It's when you get there, it is so much fun. And the staff and the volunteers make it an experience because, let's also be honest, Lambeau Field is a major part of Green Bay's economy. So they want to treat everybody really well when they get there. And that's the one part about fans, I think, from other teams that are always surprised. No matter what the team is, they're like, these people are so nice. It's that Midwest nice thing. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. I'm sorry. You're sitting on metal bleachers, and I know that's part of the mystique. I know it also means that you can get more butts in the seats. Maybe. I don't understand how that works because you're really squished like a sardine can. It's not comfortable.
Let me give you how they judged it, Jamie. They used an uncomfortability score based on language used in more than 100,000 Google reviews, tracking terms like crowded, cold, long lines, and overpriced to measure fan experience across 101 professional sports venue. Lambeau had the fewest complaints, including in regard for crowding, seating, and amenities. Take that, all the people like Jamie who hate the metal bleachers. Because Jamie's bougie.
Because you
she
know
sits
what
in
it
box.
Is.
I'm old.
You know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
Right, so why complain?
When you walk up to Soldier Field, one of the worst stadiums in the world.
Well, that's why you're going to be in Indiana pretty soon.
Correct. And you look on the outside and you're like, wow, that place kind of looks cool and updated. And then you get inside and you're like, oh my God, this sucks.
No. Looks like they dropped a coffee filter into an old stadium.
But the exterior of the stadium is very well kept.
Yeah.
It's well kept, but it still looks stupid. I've thought it looked stupid from the minute
design,
they opened it.
The design's stupid, yes, but it looks modern and updated from the outside. But the inside is
until you
trash.
walk through the facade into that the coffee filter, and then you're like, "This is awful."
May I throw it here? Didn't Soldier Field used to be like a historic landmark, and then they renovated and ruined it?
It is
and
a
it's
historic.
No longer.
It still is because
is
they
still?
Didn't. They did, well, no, I. Did
I
they
thought,
strip it because
I they
left
it.
The facade? They left the outside. I think they stripped it because of the
when they move to Indiana. Is it just going to be a giant pit of a hole there, or are they going to leave the
it's
stadium?
Gonna be top.
Or?
It's
they're moving
be
to Arlington Heights, Jamie.
Says
they're
who?
Not moving to Indiana.
Says who? I don't believe that.
Says me.
Anyway,
so they're going to change the colors to red for MAGA because it's in Indiana.
Oh,
the whole
brother!
Thing.
Here
no
we
more
go.
Blue and orange.
You it's got them going.
I will say that horrifying. If you are somebody who can get like the actual seats with backs when you go to Lambeau, then yes, it's a much different experience. I don't know. Bleachers are just hard. I'm old. I'm super old, and then I end up standing.
I do like
through,
them back.
I do. That's just it. And then I go to, and then you end up standing for most of the game. And let's be realistic. We have some Packers fans. We've got some old time ticket holders, and kudos to you that actually get mad at people when they stand at the game. It's a thing. It's actually a thing. They don't want people cheering. They don't want people standing. They get very mad at you when you're
How dare
in.
You cheer?
They don't.
That's not a good thing.
It's
no.
It, well, why
you
do you
want
think
people up and screaming?
Why
and
do you think there is such a crowd issue at Lambeau where Coach LaFleur even has to say, please cheer for your team. Mm-hmm. Be quiet on offense. Cheer on defense, because this is actually a thing that happens at Lambeau.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, there it is. It's on the surface again. Sounds bad. Oh, the most hated. Why are they hated? Because they're successful. And Lambeau, the most comfortable professional, despite Jamie's protest.
Beautiful. Amazing. Historic. Not
very
comfortable.
Very comfortable. More news and stuff you need to know when we come back. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.